Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos daf Kuf Aleph. We are on the top line of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Ubal Mum Hecha Ikri Tame. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. The neshama should have an aliyah. So we're going to talk about today is first. We had mentioned yesterday that a Bal Mum is referred to in the Torah as a behemah tameya. So the Gemara is going to say, oh yeah, where? Where does the Torah ever refer to a Bal Mum as a behemah? Then the Gemara is going to question Shmuel, who holds, we learned yesterday, that kachim like Menachos and Nesachim that have not become Tamei are still subject to Pidyon, that you're allowed to be pod to them even in their state of Tahara, regular Menachos and Nesachim. So we're going to question Shmuel, we're going to quote Shitos and argue in Shmuel. That's going to lead us into a discussion about whether Isurei Hana'a are subject to Tumas Ochlin, meaning do we say that in order for something to be an ochel, it needs not only to be physically edible, but halachically edible as well. Even though I can't eat it, but if it's mutter b'ana, at least I can feed it to a guy. I could do something like that. So it doesn't need to be something that I'm allowed to have eaten in order to be subject to tumas ochlin. And that's going to somehow connect back to the din or to the sugya of being poda menachos and nesachim that did not become tamei. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a carbon that is ra'u lepidyon is considered to have had a shas hakosher based on kolomid le, meaning a carbon that is ra'u to have pidyon. Do we say that, that was once kosher la'achila, and therefore, since it once was kosher la'achila, it's subject to tumas ochlin? Because our question about tumas ochlin is not only about things that are currently asur b'hana, what about things that are currently asur b'hana but once were mutter? So maybe that's enough to make it an ochel, which would make it subject to Tumas Ochlin. So let's begin top line of Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Ubal Mum Hecha Ikri Tamei. Where do we find that the Torah refers to a Bal Mum as Tamei? D'Tanya, the Braisa tells us that there's a Pasuk in Parshas, I think, B'chukosai, Vim Kol Behema Tameya Asher Lo Yakrivu Mimena Karban La Hashem. And the Pasuk goes on to say, if you have this Behema Tameya that you cannot bring as a Karban La Hashem, so it says, Vehemet Es HaBehem Lvnei HaKoyin V'Erech HaKoyin Osabin Tovu V'in Ra V'Erech HaKoyin that he's going to figure out what its value is, and he'll be po to it. So clearly, a behemah tameya that you're not able to be makrif as a carbon, you stand it up in front of the kohen in order to be po to it based on the assessed value that the kohen gives it. So bebalei mumin sheniftin akasam medaber. We are not talking about an actual behemah tameya in this pasuk. It calls it a behemah tameya, but it's talking about a bal mum that became possible to bring as a carbon on account of the fact that it has a mum. So that is what you're poda. We're not talking about a behemah tameya. So says the Gemara, atom bal mum shiftu and will be behemah tameya mamish. How do you know? Maybe it's actually it says behemah tameya. So how do you know it's not talking about an actual behemah tameya? Ah, kishu omer, when the pasuk goes on to say a little bit later in that parsha, v'imba behema hatemeya ufada berkecha hare behema temeya mura. We have a later pasuk in that same parsha that actually talks about a behema temeya. Hamani mekayim v'im kol behema temeya. So what do I do with this pasuk earlier in the parsha that seems to say the same thing about a behema temeya being nifteis? Bebali mumin shiftu akosu b'daber. Ah, must be talking about not an actual behema temeya, but about a bal mum. So you see that bali mumin are subject to pidyon, and the bali mumin are referred to in the Torah as a behemah tameya. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayis adds that even from the lashon of the pasuk, vim kol behemah tameya asher lo yakrivu mimena korban la'Hashem. It sounds like we're not talking about a regular behemah tameya, because a behemah tameya can obviously not be brought as a korban. So it must be that there's another type of behemah that is not brought as a korban, namely a behemah's bal mum, and that's what the pasuk is talking about. And the din of a behemah tameya is derived from the later pasuk of vim behemah tameya padaber kecha. Now Tosos in Maseches Temura and Daf Lam Gimel says, well, wait a second. You have two pasukim that talk about behema temeya, right? Being poda behema tameya. We're going to say the first one is not really about a behema tameya. The second one is about a behema tameya. Wouldn't it be the reverse, that the earlier one is about an actual behema tameya? Oh, now I have another one, so it's got to be meino inyan, right? Shouldn't the limud go that way? So Tosfos says, no, you cannot say that the pasuk v'im kol behema tameya is talking about an actual behema tameya, and v'im behema hatameya is talking about a balas mum, because lots of the pasuk that we're darshaning, the din of Bali Mum, is from Asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban Hashem. So it's about a psul that's pasul only lamizbeach. It says you have a behema tameya that you're not allowed to bring as a korban, which makes it sound like, hey, if you wanted to eat it for lunch, you'd be allowed to do that. But you're not allowed to bring it as a korban, so that can't be a behema tameya. You're not allowed to eat a chazer for lunch either. But it can be about a balmum, a behema that's a balmum. You can, as long as it's not a treifa, it just has a mum, dukin shabayin or whatever, you're allowed to shecht such a korban and eat it for lunch. So that's how we know that that's the pasuk that's talking about a balmum. So the Braisa asks, once you're going to tell me that you're allowed to be poda kachim that has a mum, so yachal yiftu al mum over, I might think any mum, even just a temporary mum, is enough reason to be poda kachim. So tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says when it talks about being poda bal mum, asher lo yakrivu mimena korban Hashem, you're allowed to be poda this animal that cannot be brought as a korban. Mishein el krevel Hashem kalikar yatsa zo she ein el krevel hayom ukrevel lemachar. It has to be something that can never be brought as a korban Hashem. If it has a mum kavua, it will never be able to be brought as a korban. But if it has a mum over here today, gone tomorrow, so then I'll be able to bring it as a korban Hashem. I just need a little bit of patience. Just need to wait till the mum is gone. So that's how I know that the pasuk is only telling me if it has a mum kavua, you're not allowed. You're allowed to be poda it. So now the Gemara goes back to talk about Shmuel's chiddush. Shmuel said something right after the Mishnah on yesterday's daf. Right, the Gemara started off by saying Amar Shmuel va'afilu hein tahorin niftin, that menachos and nesachim that are tahor, even if they never became tameh, you're allowed to be poda them. So the Gemara says most of Rav, so the rest of Amud Aleph is pretty much on Shmuel's chiddush, that even menachos and nesachim that are tahor, you're allowed to be poda them. So most of Rav Huna bar Manoach says, wait a second, it says in our Mishnah ha'ofos va'etzim va'levona uklishares shenitmu'u ein lahem pidyon, that ofos, etzim, levona, and klesharis, even that become tameh, you're not allowed to be opposed to them. Shalonem or pidyon el bebehema, because the old din of pidyon by kachim is only by a behema. Well, wait a second. Bishlama ofos. I understand when the Mishnah says that ofos are not subject to pidyon because pidyon is only by a behema, because kedush saguf ninu. They have kedush saguf from the moment you're makdish them, so because they're something that you could bring on the mizbeach, so you could say that they don't have pidyon because v'lonem or el bebehema. So you're telling me, even though an oaf is so similar to behema in the sense that as soon as I'm makdish it, it's royal mizbeach, and therefore it has kedush saguf. But the Torah tells me you could do pidyon on a behema, never tells me you could do pidyon on an oaf. So the oaf will not be subject to pidyon even after it becomes tameh. Ela etzim ulevona, but etzim and levona that are not yet put in a klisharis and therefore do not have a kedush saguf, uklisharis or klisharis themselves that do not have kedush saguf because you never bring them on the mizbeach. Klisharis are machshirei carbon, they're not the actual carbon itself, so it's not shaykh to say about them that you can't be pulled to them because of the din that pidyon from kedush saguf is only by a behema. These things never have kedush saguf, so don't tell me that I can't be pulled to these items since the din of pidyon only applies to behema. You can't be pulled to these things that never have kedush saguf in the first place, and therefore lifriku, they should be subject to pidyon. So why does the Mishnah tell me that Eitzim and Levona and Klishares are in lehem pidyon? Elav, it must be that the din of the Mishnah, that when we're saying that these things are in lehem pidyon, Mishum de Tahorin bialma ein niftin. It must be because regular kachim that are tahor, bistam, like Menachos and Nesachim, are not subject to pidyon, meaning Shmuel is wrong, the Gemara is suggesting. It must be that the Mishnah is assuming that Shmuel is incorrect, that normal Menachos and Nesachim in fact cannot be nifteh, the haninami, and these items that we just listed of Eitzim and Lavona and Klishares, Afgav dinitmu, even though they became kachim, kitahorim damu. They have a din like tahorim that are not subject to pidyon. And why is it that they have a din like tahorim? Eitzim and Lavona lav b'nei ashri uchlaninu. They're not subject to tumah because they're not an ochel, so they can't have the tumah that normal kachim would have. Ella chibas hakodesh mashvulu uchla. The only reason they're subject to tumas uchlin is on account of chibas hakodesh, meaning physically, these are Eitzim and Lavona cannot be eaten. So it really, really shouldn't be subject to Tumas Ochel. Why is it subject to Tumas Ochlin? Chibas HaKodesh. We have the Svara, that's something that has Chibas HaKodesh, and it's so beloved on account of its Kedusha, so it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. But even after you're going to make it subject to Tumas Ochlin on account of Chibas HaKodesh, it doesn't have all of the dinim of Tumah, only certain dinim of that are associated with things that have Tumas Ochlin. The Kolzman that you didn't chop up the Eitzim and make them into things that to pieces of wood that are ra'oi to be used on the maracha, lo miskashri, is not yet subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. Levonanami, kamadulu kitchub klisharis. Levona also, so long as you haven't placed it in the klisharis and been mekadish in the klisharis, lo miskashra, is not yet subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. U klisharis nami, and also klisharis themselves, you could say, that even after they become Tameh, they have a din like that which is tahor that you cannot be pulled to them. Hol v'slutar b'mikvah, because even if they did become tameh, it's not such a the tumah does not have a finality to it that you're going to be allowed to therefore be poda the kalim on account of this tumah, because you have another option. You could just be metire it. Kalim have tara b'mikvah. Adam and kalim have tara b'mikvah. Ochlin u'mashkin don't have tara b'mikvah. You can't be metire food or drinks in a mikvah. So for this reason that the tumah is not considered a tumah gemura as far as the heter to be poda to them. So I understand the din of the Mishnah that Eitzim, Lavona, and Klisharis that became tameh don't have pidyon like kachim that never became tameh. So that's a kasha and Shmuel from that which it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to be poda kachim tahorim. Shmuel said that you are allowed to be poda kachim tahorim. Right? That was Shmuel's whole chiddush that afilu hein tahorim niftin. So says Mar Lo, do not explain the Mishnah that kachim are not nifta for this reason that they're considered like kachim tahorim. Meaning the whole way we're touching up the Mishnah is the reason you can't be poda to these things is because they're just like kachim tahorim. And the assumption is that kachim tahorim cannot have pidyon. And that's therefore a kasha and Shmuel. Shmuel said kachim tahorim can have pidyon. If the underlying of the assumption of the entire Mishnah is that it can't have pidyon, so the Mishnah is against Shmuel. So Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. Do not explain the Mishnah that the reason these kachim cannot be subject to pidyon is because they're just like kachim tahorim. Li'olam emelach, tahorim v'alma, niftin. Maybe Shmuel is right that menachos and nesachim that are tahor are subject to pidyon, and even if you're machmir to treat them like kachim tahorim, the items in the Mishnah as if they are kachim tahorim, you can be poda them. Vahani, so what about all these items in the Mishnah? Why is it that the Mishnah says you cannot be poda them? Why is Eitzim, Lavona, and Klishares, why can't they have pidyon? So it says, Mishum to lo shchichihu, because these are not commonly found things to be able to put on the Mizbeach. So if it would have been subject to pidyon, it's going to be very hard to replace them because they're not easily found. It's not easy to find Eitzim, Lavona, and Klishares to be used. It says, well, let's take one by one. Bishlam, Lavona, Klishares, Lo Shchichi. I understand that Lavona and Klishares maybe are not so commonly found that are right in the Mizbeach. Ela Eitzim, Mishkach Shchichi. What's so hard about finding wood? There are forests full of wood. So why is it that that's considered something that's not Shchiach and that's why we don't want to make it subject to pidyon, because if you could be pulled in, how are you ever going to replace it? Meaning, again, what we're saying right now is that Shmuel is correct. Kachim Tahorim can be niftes. You are allowed to be pulled to Kachim Tahorim. And therefore, by all rights, all the items listed in the Mishnah should be subject to pidyon. Why is it that Eitzim, Lavon, and Klisharis are not subject to pidyon? Because we're nervous. You're going to be pulled in, and then what? How are you ever going to replace it? Well, so Eitzim, what do you mean? How are you ever going to replace Eitzim? Find new Eitzim. Why is that lo shchiach? So it says more Eitzim nami, kiven dam remar, kol Eitzim sebo talas, pasal gabi mizbech, hilchach lo shchichi. It's not easy to find Eitzim that's roi le mizbech, because any Eitz that has any worm in it is pasal le mizbech. And therefore, to find Eitzim, the tzorach ha mizbech, is something that's eino matzui. So that we could, the chachamim therefore made a gzeira not to be poda these things, even though by all rights, these things should have been subject to pidyon. So now the Gemara says, okay, so you don't have a kasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah, but is there anyone that argues on Shmuel? Do we find that there are those that disagree with Shmuel? So I'm Rav Papa, Yishmi'eli l'Shmuel hadetanya. Rav Papa says, you know, Shmuel said his shita that Nachos and Nusachim that are tahar are subject to pidyon. He said his shita because he was unaware of a particular brisa. But if he was aware of the brisa that I'm aware of, he never would have said his shita, he would have changed his mind. So what's the brisa that would have made him change his mind? So Yishmi'eli l'Shmuel hadetanya. Shmuel would have known the following brisa. Hamatfis tmimim lebedek abayis. A person takes kosher animals that are not balimum and the roi lakrava, meaning a goat, a sheep, an animal that could be a karban, and he says, I'm being makdishit lebedek abayis. You're not allowed to do that. If you have a perfectly kosher karban, a kosher animal that's not a balmum, and you want to give it kedusha, if it's roi lemizbeach, you got to give it kedusha saguf, kedusha mizbeach. You cannot be makdishit lebedek abayis. But the guy did. So it has kedusha stamim. So you can't be makrivit on the mizbeach as it is. You need to be poda it, because you never gave it kedusha saguf. So you need to be poda it. So ain poda nosan ella lemizbeach. You can only be poda it for the sake of being makrivit on the mizbech. Why? Because kol roi lemizbech in yotzim midei mizbech liolam. Anything that's roi lemizbech has to end up on the, that you've granted kedusha to, has to end up on the mizbech. So afal gav de kedusha dam ninu. So even though when you were makdish, you didn't give it kedusha mizbech, you only were makdish with kedusha bedek abayis, a niftin, you're not allowed to be poda it to just let it roam free and to let it become chulin, ha'olu tahorim heim, because it's something that's roi lak. So any animal that's roi lakrava that you decided to be makdish has to end up on the mizbech. So even when you're poda it, you're only going to be poda it to be able to be used as a karban. So Rav Papa says, you know, if Shmuel would have known this, have a hadabe, he would have changed his mind and he would have said that that you cannot be poda kachim tahorim. So says Mar Velohi, it's not true. Shmuel was well aware of the brisa velo hadabe, and he did not change his mind. So the Gemara explains, why didn't he change his mind? Because Lav Amritasam, didn't we say when it came to Eitzim and Lavona and Klishares, why is it that you're not allowed to be pulled to those things? Kivin de lo shchichi, because they're not commonly found, they're not easily replaced. So lo mifriki, we're not going to allow you to be pulled to them. Well, hachanami, Shmuel would just tell you the same thing about behemos and a royal akrava. Kivin de shchichi mumen de pasli be behema, tafilu bedokin shabayin nami pasli, hilkach lo shchichi. That in a chinami, kachim that are tahorim, you're allowed to be pulled to. Why am I not allowed to be pulled? A behema tahora that's not a balmum that I was makdish lebedek abayis. I'm only allowed to be poda to use it as a carbon. I'm not allowed to be poda it to make a chulam. Why am I not allowed to do that? Because the gezeirah mitrabanan that it's so hard to replace. Where are you going to find another behema that doesn't have a mum? So that's why you're not allowed to be poda it. So therefore when Rav Papa said if Shmuel only would have known this brisa, he never would have said his shita. Not true. He was well aware of the brisa and he still said his shita. Now, it's very interesting. The Bryce's whole discussion is that you take a perfectly good goat and you're makdish it, lebedek abayis. So he said, okay, now what? It's got to end up in the mizbech, so I'm going to need to be poded. I would have thought that the kedush is not chal, because there's a sugya meseches tamura, machlokes abayim rava, and rava says called milsa dam rachman lo savid iavad lo mahani, that whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, when you do it, there is no chalos. It doesn't work. Meaning when the Torah says don't, it's not just saying don't, it's saying you are not empowered to make it happen. So if the Torah says that you're not allowed to be makdish a behema tamima, Lebedek Abayis, it should mean that it's not Kadosh at all. It doesn't even have Kedushas Bedek Abayis. So the Gemara in Temura asks this question. The Sugya in Temura goes from like Davdala to Davzayin, because the Gemara gives this rule. The Gemara says, oh yeah? What about? And has like 14 different examples of where it seems to be that a Yavid Mani or a Yavid Lomani brings a Rayas in both directions. That's what Yonason Sachs once said, that that's his whole style of learning, is he develops the Yisod and then sees, are there any exceptions in Kala Tarukula to figure it out? So he said one of the Talmidim once came just right off the boat back from Yeshiva in Israel, and the Talmud came over to him and said, this shir is not my style. He said, not your style, it's the Gemara style. That's what the Gemara does. It says the Yisod and tries to bring Rayas from all of Shas. So okay, so the Gemara over there asks this question, and the Gemara says that it's because the Isser of Hakadoshas Tmim Lebedek Abayis is derived from the pasuk that talks about the Isser of Hakadoshas Beimah Balas Mum Lemizbeach. And just like if you're Makdash of Bal Mum Lemizbeach, the Kedusha is Chal, even though you did an Isser, so it's also one of the exceptions. So too, the Isser of being Makdash, a Behemah that's not a Bal Mum Lebedek Abayis, the Kedusha is going to be Chal. So says Gemara, okay, let's see if there's anybody else that argues on Shmuel. So Rav Kahana Omer, again, Shmuel's Chiddush was that the Menachos Unasachim that are Tahar, you could still be po to them, even though they're Tahar. Rav Kahana Omer, Tamei Niftin Tahar Nei Niftin. Rav Kahana disagrees, no, only if they're Tamei, only Kachim that's Tamei can be po to, not Kachim that's Tahar. V'chein Omer Rabbi Yoshaya, Tamei Niftin Tahar Nei Niftin. Also against Shmuel, Rabbi Yoshaya. Igad Amri Omer Rabbi Yoshaya, Afil Tahar Niftin. There's another version of Rabbi Yoshaya that he says just like Shmuel, that he says that Kachim that are Taharin can be subject to Pidyon. So now the Gemara brings another Shita, Reb Lazar Omer, Kulan, by all menachos, Tamei Niftin, Torunei Niftin, meaning against Shmuel, that regular menachos are not subject to Pidyon of their Tahar, Chut, Me'asira Sa'efa, Shal Milchas Chotei, Shayamra Torah, Mechatasso, Al Chatasso. Except there's an exception, and that is the Asira Sa'efa of a Milchas Chotei, that even if it's Tahora, you're allowed to be poda it. Because the Torah, when it talks about bringing the carbon Olavi Yored, says Mechatasso, and it says Al Chatasso, meaning the Torah says, you bring a kisvah or a se'ira if you could afford it, and or it says you bring tarum ubnei yona if you could afford it. And the pasuk says v'chiper alav hakohen mechata so. Whereas when it talks about bringing a mincha for your carbon olav yorid, it says v'chiper alav hakohen al chataso. So Chazal Darshan in the Gemara in Krisus, from the lashon of the pasuk that it says when you bring a behema, it says mechataso. It sounds like you bring some of your chatas. So what we learn from there is, let's say you have a rich guy and he designates money to buy a behema for his carbon olav yored because he could afford it. He's a wealthy person, so he has to bring an olav yored. So he designates money for the highest end olav yored for money, and then his fortunes take a turn, he becomes poor, so he could buy Torum Bnei Yona with some of that money, and the rest of the money becomes chulin. Mechataso. He designated whatever it is. Let's say Behema costs $500, and the birds only cost $200. He designates $500 for the Behema. He became poor. He uses 200 of those dollars for the birds, and the rest of the money becomes chulin. And also when it comes to Ophos, it's mechataso, because of that's talking about a guy who's rich enough, he has enough money to bring Torah of Bnei Yona, and then he becomes poor. So some of that money should be used to buy a mincha, and the rest of the money becomes chulin. And when it says by a mincha of an olav yored, not mechataso, but al chataso, it sounds like there's a case where you designate money for your carbon olav yored, and then al chataso, you add more money to make an adjustment. And that's talking about the opposite case. A guy designates a small amount of money to bring a mincha for his olav yored, and then he becomes wealthy. So just be poda the money that you were that you had designated. Not money. A guy bought a carbon mincha. Be poda that carbon mincha and add money to the money that you get for it, and buy tarum bnei yona. And if you get even richer. So add more money and buy a kisvor a seira. And you don't have to bring it all the money for the carbon from chulin that now that you've become wealthy. So apparently the mincha that you already bought, you're allowed to be poda. So don't you see that even if it did not become tameh, you're allowed to be poda it? So that's the exception. So Blazer says, generally, I reject Shmuel. Generally, if you have a mincha that is Torah, you cannot be poda it. But because the Torah uses this phrase of al chataso, it teaches me that when it comes to the olav yored of a minchas chote, that you can be poda it. So now, once we mention being poda kachim that did not become tame, the Gemara brings the shita, and we mentioned Rabbi Yoshaya's shita. What was Rabbi Yoshaya's shita? We don't know. There was a first version and a second version, right? Rabbi Yoshaya was one that said tamei niftin Torah nei niftin, but ikatamri am Rabbi Yoshaya filu Torah niftin. So either Rabbi Yoshaya agrees with Shmuel or he disagrees. Agrees with Shmuel, but once we're discussing Rabbi Yoshaya's opinion on this matter, we're going to mention Rabbi Yoshaya's opinion about Psulim Menachos and Apostle, and we're going to ask on that based on his shita over here about Pidyon of Kachim that are Tahorim. So I'm Rabbi Yoshaya. Another statement that Rabbi Yoshaya said, which is going to end up tying back to our sugya, but at first doesn't sound like it. Shamati Pigel B'Mincha. I heard that if a person is mefa Agel, his carbon mincha, le Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that which is asr ba'anah is not subject to tumas ochlin, because even though it may be physically edible, halachically it's not something that can be eaten or that you can even allow others to eat. So it is not subject to tumas ochlin, therefore eino mitame tumas ochlin. If you were mefagel, the carbon mincha, that's no longer subject to tumas ochlin. How do I know that that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that something that's halachically asr ba'anah is not subject to Masochlin? Ditanya, we have a brisa. Ha'arla, so it's just going to give a list of a lot of things that are asr ba'anah. So arla, the fruits from the first 3 years after you plant a tree. Vikilei ha'kerem, or you have kalayim of a vineyard that grows near Zra'im. Vishara niskal, you have a shor that had a gemar din for skila because it had killed someone. And then you shechted it instead of giving it skila. The egla arufa, or an egla that was brought to Nachal Eson for the arifa egla because of a dead body found between two cities. The tzipori mitzora, or the birds that are shechted the tzorach, the sprinkling of the dam on a mitzora in order to be mitar him. Upeter chamar, a firstborn chamar that did not have a pidyon and is shechted for an ovid chavim to eat. Ubasa b'chalav, or basa that was cooked together with chalav and therefore because the Torah says Los Vashkul Di B'Chalivimo three times, and one of them is to teach me Nisra Hanah from Basu B'Chalav. So Kulam, all of these things that we just mentioned in the Braisa are Metam and Tumas Ochlin. Tanakama says they're food. They may not be food that you're allowed to eat, they may not be food you're allowed to feed to a guy, but physically it's food, and therefore it's Metame Tumas Ochlin. It's subject to Tumas Ochlin. It's still considered Ochel. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kulam Ein Metam Tumas Ochlin. Rabbi Shimon says, no, none of these things are food, because none of them, not only are you not allowed to eat them, you're not allowed to feed them to anybody. You're not even allowed to feed them to a guy or to an animal. So they're not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Now, the Achronim are a little bothered. Is this an exhaustive list of Isurei Hana? Aren't there a few items missing on this list? I mean, we have a nice list over here. What about Chametz B'Pesach? So the Mitzvah Eisen says, the fact that it doesn't mention Chametz B'Pesach is because the Tana who taught the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Chametz B'Pesach is Mutar Ba'ana. That there is such a sheet of etana meseches pesachim that chametz pesach is mutar bana. Okay, what about chulin la azara? He says the Tana holds that it's not an isra midaraisa, mele it's not an isra na. The simpler answer is that Tana v'shir, that we gave a list of a lot of things that are asr bana. So chametz pesach and other things are also on the list. We don't have to mention every item that's on the list of isurei ana. So anyway, so Rabbi Shimon holds all of these things are not subject to masochlin, because they're Yisurei Adah. Except, Moder Rabbi Shimon, Bebas B'chalav, Shemetami Tumas Ochlin, Hol V'Haisel Oshasa Kosher. Yisod, the Gemara says. Even Rabbi Shimon who holds that something that's Asa B'Anah is not subject to Tumas Ochlin, will hold that there's an exception. If it ever was kosher, then it will be subject to Tumas Ochlin. So, Bas B'chalav had a Shasa Kosher. There was a time where you were allowed to eat it, because before you ever cooked it together, the Basar was kosher, the Chalav was kosher. In fact, that's a prerequisite to becoming basar b'chalav. Something can only be basar b'chalav if it was basar from a behemah tmeya, from behemah tahara, and chalav from behemah tahara. Someone just asked me yesterday that a guy came over to me and told me a friend of his had ordered a snack, and he didn't realize what he had done, and he ate the whole thing, and then he realized it was bacon bits. I don't know how that happens, but he finished the whole thing. Then he wanted a coffee with milk afterwards. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to have his coffee with milk after he finished eating his bacon bits. So the answer is yes. You should feel a little worse about that, but yes, because it's behemah tmeya. Behemah tmeya is not subject to basar b'chalav. So the Amr Rabbi Asi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold that which is asar b'ana is not mitami tumas ochlin? Because it says in the parsha of tumas ochlin, mikol ha'ochel asher ye ochel shati yochel achil l'acherim kari ochel. Only ochel that you can give to someone else to eat is called an ochel. Ochel she'iyat yochel achil l'acherim enu kari ochel. Ochel that you're not able to give to somebody else to eat is not called an ochel. Va'pigal b'min Chanami. So similarly, this mincha that became possible because of a machsheves pigul is ochel shiat yochel achil lacherim hu, is ochel that cannot be fed to anyone else because you have to burn it. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the mincha should not be considered an ochel as far as the dinim of tumas ochlin are concerned. So again, Rabbi Yoshaya says, I heard that if you mefagel a mincha, that according to Rabbi Shimon, it should not be subject to tumas ochlin. Why? Because apparently Rabbi Shimon holds anything that you cannot feed to somebody else is not subject to tumas ochlin, and pigel b'mincha is an example of something that you cannot feed to somebody else. There's a shaila in poskim to the dinim of bizoy ochlin apply to things that you cannot eat. The Prima Gadim writes in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph in Orach Chaim that perus at rasa b'ana like arla and kilei akerim, you're still not allowed to be mevaze them, so you're not allowed to throw them in front of a chasen and kala to be mesameach them in a dirty place where they're going to get ruined by the mud or whatever else is there, even though you're not nena from the guf hapri, and it's not an isra of meaning doing that with it is not called getting hana'a from the priest, so it's not a violation of the isra hana'a, but it is bizoy ochlin. So bizoy ochlin, apparently says Prima Gadim, applies even to things that you're not allowed to eat. So in the tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, he disagrees with the Prima Gadim, and he says anything that's omid the sreifa is not shayach bizoy ochlin. The Binyan Tzion also writes in a tshuva that it's not subject to bizoy ochlin, because according to Rabbi Shimon and Arsuga, isurei anar not mekabel tumas ochlin, because by tumas ochlin says mikol ochel asher yeachel, and Rabbi Shimon holds that if you're not able to be machal acherim, it's not called an ochel. So apparently, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a davar pashut that there should be no isur of bizoy ochlin by isurei anar, because it's simply not called an ochel. And then Binyan Tzion says, and even according to the Tanakhama, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon and holds that Isurei Ana are mitami tumas ochlin, and that's how we paskan la halacha like the Tanakhama, we could still say that that's only as far as kabbalas tuma, because you find the chumra that even ochel kolshu is mekabel tuma min haTorah or at least midrabanan. Whereas bizei ochlin, there's no isra unless than a kazayis when it comes to bizei ochlin, because it's not the derech to eat it. So therefore, the Tanakhama might agree that Isurei Ana, as far as bizei ochlin, are not subject to bizoy ochlin, because it's not the derech to eat it. Anytime it's not the derech to eat it, right? By bizoy, if you have pieces of bread that are pachos mikazayis, there's no iser pirurim that ain't bem kazayis. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, you're allowed to be ma'abed such pirurim. Otherwise, if you have pieces of bread that are larger than a kazayis, you have to dispose of them in a respectful way. You have to wrap them up separately. Someone just came over to me this week and told me that he remembers when he was learning at Tar Vidas, Rabbi Belsky used to eat lunch sometimes in the classroom during lunchtime, so they would bring him his lunch, and he said he remembers when he didn't finish the whole thing, he would say, bring me some tissues or some paper towels, and he would wrap up the bread before throwing it. I said, you ever heard of such a thing? That he would wrap? I'm like, yeah, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If you have more than a kazayis of pas, you're supposed to wrap it up before you throw it out. Okay, so so that's Rabbi Shimon's shita, that any ochel, shiat yochel la'achil la'achirim, is not called an ochel. So ask the the Gemara, Ihach, if that's true, that the basis of Rabbi Shimon, that something that's also Banah is not Tamim Mishum Tumas Ochlin, because it's not called an Ochel, Basar B'chalav Nami, shouldn't we say by Basar B'chalav, where Rabbi Shimon is Moda, that is called an Ochel? Why do you have to say that the reason it's called an Ochel is because it had a Shasa Kosher? Typically, the Ochel Shati Yachalachi Lachirimu. Shouldn't Basar B'chalav anyway be subject to Tumas Ochlin? Because after all, you're allowed to give it to other to Goyim, you're allowed to feed it to your animals. You are? According to Rabbi Shimon, you are. Titania, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Pasu b'chal v'asu b'achila, mutar b'ana. Rabbi Shimon himself holds that it's actually mutar b'ana. Shnemer, kiam kodesh atal Hashem el-kech lo sevash ha-gudi b'chlev imbau, ula alonu omer, v'anche kodesh tiyun liu, basu b'sad d'trefa lo so chelu, l'kel v'tashlichu nasa. So from the fact that the Torah says, similar l'shonos, am kodesh, anche kodesh, so we darshim g'zer shava. Malah alon, just like when it comes to trefa, asu b'achila, mutar b'ana. Basar trefa is mutar b'ana, sa'af kan, so to basar b'chalav, asar b'achila, mutar b'ana. So apparently Rabbi Shimon holds basar b'chalav is mutar b'ana, so why does Rabbi Shimon say that basar b'chalav is subject to Tumas Ochlin because it was once kosher? He should say it's subject to Tumas Ochlin because it's ata yachal achilo l'acherim. So says Gemara, yeah, chada va'ud ka'amar. He meant both. Chada adochal shayt yachal achilo l'acherim. First of all, basar b'chalav is subject to Tumas Ochlin because you're could feed it to Goyim. Va'od, and not only that, Lidi Deinami, even if you hold it's Asr Ba'ana, it's still subject to Masochlin, because Haisa Lo Shasa Kosher, because it once was kosher, and anything that once was kosher is subject to Masochlin. So Meisve, they ask Vaiter on Rabbi Yoshia, who said that according to Rabbi Shimon, a mincha that had a machsheves pigel does not have a din of Masochlin, because you have to burn it. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Nosr Shumatami to Masochlin, Yesh Nosr Shainamatami to Masochlin. Sometimes you'll have Noser that's subject to Tumas Ochlin, and sometimes not. Ketzad, so what would be the chilik? Lun the Fnei Zrika, if the carbon was lun before you were ever Zorik the Dam on the Mizbeach, so it became Noser, but lun is how it becomes Noser, you leave it overnight, so it became Noser before you ever did the Zrika. Eino Matamas Tumas Ochlin. It's not Matamas Tumas Ochlin because it was never kosher. You never did the Zrika, you were never allowed to eat it. But the Achar Zrika, if you did the Zrika and then you left it over, Matamas Tumas Ochlin. So then it had a shasa kosher, and therefore it's metame to masochlin. So upigel bein mekachim kachim bein mekachim kalim ainu metame to masochlin. Pigel is not going to be tame to masochlin, but pigel b'mincha metame to masochlin. But if you're mefagel the carbon mincha, it is subject to masochlin. So you see, the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that a carbon mincha that became pigel is subject to Tumas Ochlin. Rabbi Yoshaya's whole statement was that it's not. Rabbi Yoshaya's whole point was, that I think, according to Rabbi Shimon, a mincha that had a machsheves pigel is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Here you have beferish that it is. So it says more lokasha. You can't ask from this brisa on Rabbi Yoshaya, because kan shayis al hashas kosher, kan shalois al hashas kosher. The brisa is talking about a case of a korban mincha that was mutter bahana'a before you were ever makdish it, and therefore was subject to Tumas Ochlin, just like Rabbi Shimon said about Basar B'chalav. It was once kosher, and anything that was once kosher is going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. But Rabbi Yoshaya was talking about where it never had a shasa kosher. It was never mutar b'hana, and therefore it's not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. So it says Gemara, Hechidami d'lois l'shasa kosher. How can you ever even have such a thing? There's such a thing as a mincha that the flour was never kosher? How did that happen? So it says Gemara, yeah, Dr. Shinu b'mechubar, where you were makdashit, well, it was still mechubar l'karka. So before it ever became a food, you were already makdish it. So it never had a shasa kosher, and therefore it's not subject to Tumas Ochlin. So I asked the Gemara of Lefrakinu, can't you be poda a mincha before you're makdish it in a klisharis? So isn't that called that it has a shasa kosher? Because it's roi lachil, you could always be podit. So hani, chalach l'shnodam Rabbi Yoshaya, this is where it comes full circle. I understand very well if Rabbi Yoshaya holds temei niftin torah nei niftin shapir, if Rabbi Yoshaya holds, no you can't, you're not allowed to be poda menachos that are tahorim. So I understand that it doesn't have a shasa kosher because you were never able to be poda it. But if you assume that Rabbi Yoshaya holds like Shmuel, that you are allowed to be poda menachos that are tahor, so lefrakinu, shouldn't you just be poda it? And therefore it has a shasa kosher? So says Mar, hashtami aloparik. If you would have been poda it, then it would have had a shasa kosher. But you weren't poda it, and therefore it never had Eishas HaKosher. Says Gemara, but the Kivadi Bayi Parakle, Shamini Le Rabbi Shimon Damar Kol Ami Liftos Kepadr Dami. Shouldn't the fact that you could have been Poda it be enough? The fact that you could have been Poda it, isn't that considered as if you already were Poda it, and therefore it's considered to have Eishas HaKosher? And that's Rabbi Shimon's position. Titania Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon holds par. If you have a Parah Aduma, it's considered an Ochel, Metamah Tumas Ochlin, to be subject to Tumas Ochlin, Hol Vahisala Shasa Kosher, because there was a time that it had a Shasa Kosher. The Amrish Lakish, Amrish Lakish says that the Parah's Shasa Kosher was that you could have been poded. That Omer Rabbi Shimon Parah Niftes Al Gabi Ma'arachta, that even after you Shechti, you could still be poded it. So you see, the fact that you could be poded something means that that's called as if you were poded it, and therefore that's considered a Shasa Kosher, and therefore it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. So we should say the same thing by the Mincha. So it says, Marana, Hachi Hashta. You can't compare them. Bishlam Apara. I understand this Vara that the Heter Pidyon is considered a Shasa Kosher for a Para Aduma, because Omedes Liftosi, that a Para Aduma you're supposed to be Poda in an ideal world. What do you mean you're supposed to be Poda? Let's say you Shechted a Para Aduma, and then Shematza Cheres Noahe Mena, you find a nicer Para Aduma, Mitzvah Liftosa. You should be Poda the first one, use the second one. Question is why you can't use both, but that's a discussion. But you should be pulled to the first one. Ella hani menachos, but these menachos mitzvah l'ftosan. What is there a mitzvah to be pulled to them? Certainly not. And therefore, since there's no chiv to be pulled to them, if you were actually pulled to them, then they're hutar ba'achila and they're subject to tumas ochlin. But calls man that you were not pulled to them, they are not subject to tumas ochlin. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up from there from Bahalan and Fnei Zrika. Good day.